are now listening to the Lifting Standards Podcast, where we interview trainers, nutritionists, and inspirational individuals with the goal of providing personal and professional growth in every episode. Now, here's your host, Dalton Nicholas.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Dalton Nicholas. And for today's episode, I've done a little intro beforehand. We're going to talk to my very special friend and mentor, Jordan Rahman, here in a couple seconds. But I'm just giving you some background on how me and him met and kind of what you can expect out of today's episode. So me and him grew up in the same county together, never a little bit of an age gap. We met each other through flag football, a mutual friend, and really, he's the first person to impact my life in fitness and professionally as well. Just overall, he's led me in the right direction whenever I needed help or guidance. And he's just an awesome person to have as a resource. And his story is fucking amazing. So he's going to talk to you today about how he lost over 150 pounds. His struggles when he was in high school and after high school, being overweight and obese. We're going to talk about some healthy life balance stuff that we both have some tips for y'all. He's going to mention some of his greatest accomplishments, and then also he's honestly an amazing professional. He's a manager of a store out in Denver, and he's just, every time I've interacted with him or we've talked about work in any sense of the way, he's just someone who always has a passion no matter where he is working for what company. And it's something that I think is really commendable and something that most people should try to strive to have, that mindset and that kind of passion with whatever work they're doing. And this guy nails it every single time. So without no further ado, this is the episode with my good friend Jordan Rahman. I hope you guys enjoy it. All right. So welcome, Jordan.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me, Dalton.
Absolutely, my man. So I brought you onto this podcast because, one, you are a huge mentor of mine, like, as you are well aware, for, man, I don't even, it's got to be getting close to 5-6 years now. It's been a while.
Like that, maybe more.
Yeah, we're getting old, Jordan. And you inspired me at the very beginning of my weight loss journey and kind of gave me direction and good places to find resources, and all in all, we're just like the best gym partner I've ever had in my entire life. So that is one of the many reasons I wanted to have you on this show, and also your story is freaking incredible. So why don't you start with just some background information about, like, where you started and where you come from?
Absolutely. Yeah, so grew up in Berkshire County, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, so that's kind of where it all started. So a small town kid, you know, and now I live in Denver, Colorado, so it's a little different, but I started there, and, you know, where fitness was never a big thing. I was raised by a single mom and my older sister, and had a younger brother, and so she was always working, so I was left to a lot of late night video game nights, a lot of big New Yorkers from Pizza Hut, you know, for dinner and lunch, and, you know, all the other meals. So I kind of started there, you know, played high school sports, played some sports when I was younger as well, basketball, baseball. And then when I got to high school, I played football primarily, and then also lacrosse. But I wouldn't say I was an athletically gifted person, that's for sure. Well, football, I was a lineman, you know, and then yep. Lacrosse, I was a goalie. So I pretty much just filled in the goal. Like, if you've ever seen one of those commercials, I just kind of like filled in all the spaces. so running and cardiovascular exercise and activity was not my strong suit, but I was really good at video games. So that's kind of where I started. And then as I got out of high school, that kind of athletic fell off the wayside, and it just became the food and the video games. So then not great for my health. And so that led to just getting up to almost 300 pounds. The last scale I stepped on, heaviest weight was 293. And when you're 293 pounds, you don't really step on the scale too often. So I'm sure I was over that three mark.
Right. Man, yeah, the video games thing, we obviously, I mean, I've never beat you in Madden to this day, honestly. So you're not lying there. And yeah, I think that's a, that was a very good point about not stepping on the scale anymore. At a certain point when you're gaining weight, you kind of just give up, honestly, and you stop being curious. And once you stop stepping on the scale, I think that should tell you something. Whether it's for a healthy reason or not, there's going to be some meaning behind you not stepping on the scale, for sure. So tell us, so that was kind of where you're from. We've met each other, obviously, through living and growing up in the Berkshires. And funny enough, I didn't even meet you when you were that big. I met you when you were ripped. you were freaking jacked at the time when I met you. I was in awe, and I couldn't even believe to hear your story. And what really resonated with me is that you were just such a nice person. And I always thought when I was younger, when I was bigger and fat, I always thought that, like, man, if I ever could get jacked, like, these other guys got an issue, because I've got a really good personality, is what I always would tell myself. And my mom would obviously tell me that too. So that's what I, like, you are one of the most wholesome people, and I saw that right away, and I'm like, man, most of these jacked people are usually D-bags, honestly. I'm like, what's his story? Why is he so nice when he looks so good? So that's where me and you met. So tell me a little bit more. So that's the background of where you started. And so how did you get started in, like, your career and life, and what other aspects outside of fitness?
Yeah, I mean, as far as outside of fitness, career was really a lot of business acumen and science. I went to school for a science degree, but honestly, it was just kind of figuring out a path. Things legitimately just kind of fall in your lap. I was working in retail, and I found that the harder I worked, the less I talked and the nicer I was to all my coworkers and my bosses in particular. I found a quicker route of success. You know, instead of being the guy hanging out in the corner, you know, sitting on my phone, I was the kid with the rag in my back pocket. Whether anyone was looking or not, you know, picking up the slack for everybody else.
Very, very good trait.
Yeah. So as far as career, that, you know, that retail business management side, I learned a lot. And I learned a lot through finding mentorship and different avenues. You know, I had old bosses who I just would ask questions and really take their time seriously. You know, when I asked them a question and they were giving me a response, I would run with that. And I think that's what's kind of propelled me into the level that I'm at in my career, outside of fitness, and just overall, that's kind of shaped the person. I've been able to just pair myself up with people who are where I want to be. And so finding the right people to partner with, the right group of people to be with, I think was a huge, huge impact on me.
Where did you, I mean, I didn't really learn much about that until I was out of high school, I would say. I mean, where did you just one day, like, stumble on the fact that you should start surrounding yourself with good people? Like, where did you find that thought process, or where did you pick up that ideology?
You know, that's a question I've never been asked before, but I think the biggest thing, it did partially coincide with my health, making, you know, taking the right path. I was never, you know, I was never the kid who was the most popular or the loudest or the funniest, but I was always the person who would, you know, do right. I was a music and theater kid, so I did all these sports, but and all the cool kids who did sports and athletics, which, not to knock on them, but, you know, a lot of them did a lot of the getting into parties and getting into trouble type deal, and not that I didn't have my fair share, but I just found that surrounding myself with nice people and people who cared, and especially in that music and theater background, all of these students, I mean, they were way smarter than I was, A-plus students, 4.0 GPAs, going to big schools, but they were just nice people and they were inviting, and so I just tried to stick myself next to people like that.
That's really cool. That's I think that's a little bit, it's definitely It's getting better, I think, as like the generations come through and people are a little bit more inviting just as a whole group. Like, I don't really think it's the, I could be wrong, and these young kids will maybe say it to me that I'm wrong, but I do think the younger generation is a lot more inviting, a lot less judgmental, and a little bit more uplifting, and I'm happy to see it, to be honest with you, especially with the history of growing up like that.
Absolutely. Well, I think the biggest thing is the introduction of like true social media as it is today. Has a huge impact, you know. Things like Instagram were just really getting started, you know, back when I was making this change after high school. So we're talking like 2010. Yeah. You know, social media started to get a little bit more broad, and you could connect with people that maybe you didn't live near. You know, Berkshire County is a small environment, and if you stay in that ecosystem, as you know, like it can really affect and impact how you think. So I found myself listening to podcasts before, you know, the podcast app for your iPhone was a thing. I was listening on SoundCloud. Right. I found podcasts like School of Greatness. I started to listen to audiobooks. A lot of self-development, not necessarily like I consider self-help, but just positive financial, positive just mental stability type podcasts. And that's what kind of kept me on that path and made me, it was gravitating.
It's definitely, yeah, I think you're right. And maybe not just Berkshire County either. Anywhere you live, if you just stay in a hometown where everybody knows everyone and everybody's dated everyone or whatever they're doing there, the ideology of everyone in that town is pretty similar. I know around here, like GD is like the best job you could have. Like, there's certain areas you're going to have like as far as you can go in that area, especially if it's a small hometown type of place. And you finding ways to get outlooks outside of your area is major key. Like, that must have been huge for your mental and like physical health too. Like, I don't think there's a lot of gyms around here with personal training, especially not accessible to anybody like high school age, or at least not in 2010. There wasn't a lot of options, and kids weren't even really interested in it at that point. It was like you lifted with your football team, and that's pretty much all that I heard about kids lifting when I was in high school.
Yeah. I mean, I would hear about the high school lifting. I wasn't one of those. You know, I probably went to like two or three of the conditioning, strength training, you know, non-mandatory, you know, meetups. But so I was never big into that community. But I think social media allowed people to have an avenue and to see people do something. And it's cool, man. It's very cool.
Yes. All right. So we've talked about your background. The next topic we have is more focused on your fitness. We talked about where you came from for fitness, probably over 300 pounds. That might have been insensitive. Sorry.
No, it's fine. definitely over 300 pounds.
Starting at over 300 pounds, I guess my first question, and I didn't put this down because I did want to kind of have you on your toes a little bit, but like, what was your, do you remember the day that you decided you're like, nah, screw this, like, I'm about to make a change and actually do better for myself? What was that moment for you?
Yeah, so it's two parts, and I don't talk about the first part too much in public or to people, but obviously your podcast is making an impact on people's lives, so I don't see why holding it back's any different. But yeah, so two parts. It started, honestly, you know, while working retail, you don't have a great schedule. You eat out a lot. You eat a lot of takeout, fast food. You know, you get out at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, you go, you drink, you party, you wake up, you do it all over again. So right. That's what led me to that heavy weight. And what really started it is I went to Six Flags New England. I love amusement parks. And obviously the biggest roller coaster there they have is the Superman roller coaster. And at the end of October, right before the season kind of ended, I remember hopping on the roller coaster. I was with a bunch of people that I didn't really know. I was dating a girl at the time, and I kind of went with her coworkers and her. And we waited for the front row. You know, you wait 2 hours for it. I get in the front row seat, and I go to buckle the buckle, and it doesn't fit around my waist. It doesn't fit around my stomach. Damn. And so, you know, and I'm trying to suck it in, and I wasn't able to buckle in. So the attendant's like, hey, I'm sorry, but you have to sit off to the side. So that was a huge factor into like a wake-up call. Right. Like, hey, this is probably not good. And then about a month later is really when it was the like F it moment. And I worked for Black Friday, I worked like a 22-hour shift. And then the following Saturday, I worked, you know, like a 20-hour shift. And I remember getting home at 11:30 at night. And I lived on the second story of an apartment building. And I got through the first row of steps, but on the second, I didn't have it in me, which was crazy. And so I sat at the bottom of the steps probably for at least an hour, maybe 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And just was, you know, contemplating what my life was at that time. And that's really when it set in to make the change. So from that point on, it was off to the races. I started with just changing out sodas and things like that. And it just became an obsession. I didn't want to feel that way that those two instances made me feel.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, that is, and you're right. I'm happy that you said at the beginning, like, affecting people's lives, because I don't think a lot of people tell their story because they may think it's insignificant or maybe they're embarrassed. But man, I'm sure there's people out there that could be going through the exact same situation or something worse. You know what I mean? Like, you're not able to get in to that roller coaster. Like, I know for a fact, like, maybe people aren't even able to eat at a restaurant because they can't fit in a booth. Like, it's not uncommon, unfortunately. So I know. Thank you so much for sharing that. You sharing your story affects so many people, and like, I've never even heard that, and I've known you for this long. So thank you you for sharing that. That's absolutely really inspiring. To continue with your fitness chat, some stuff that we actually had planned out, so I won't throw you another curveball right away. What do you think are the biggest, the three biggest milestones you've hit since then? Because I mean, it's been a long time since you lost that weight, and you've really not lost any motivation. Like, everybody goes through waves, but you've seemed to keep it up pretty continuously. So what are the three things you think are your biggest milestones?
Yeah, and as far as milestones, these are definitely the top three. There's a ton of them though, and I think that's what's continued me going. And I know we'll talk a little bit about that later on, but. First milestone was I did a Spartan Beast race in Mount Vernon, New Jersey, which it's 15 miles, 35 plus obstacles, and it's an obstacle course race. Now, the real significant thing about it was I've only ever run a 5K, a 4th of July 5K race.
Right.
I've never done any more running than that ever in my life. And then again, 15 miles, so you're talking, five times the distance up and down a mountain continuously, with obstacles in the mud, in the water. So that was definitely one of the biggest milestones. And shout out to my buddy Pete Winchell. Shout out, you know Pete.
Yeah.
That was a gift. He, you know, I was joking around with him and my now wife Krista about it one day, and you know, they both looked at me like I was crazy. And then I think 2 weeks later, Pete was like, I got an email, and Pete was like, hey. We're on in April, so.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that. That's nuts.
Yeah. So that was actually a gift, his wedding gift to us, which was awesome, kind of. But
kind of awesome.
Looking back, it was the best experience. Yeah. So that was the first one. The second one was definitely hiking the Grand Canyon from top to bottom and back up. We took the South Kaibab Trail, which is one of the more difficult trails, and then came up the Bright Angel Trail, and it's like 22 miles. It's an all-day event. It got up to 100 degrees at the bottom at one point on the way up.
Jeez.
And I got done, and literally the next day I did legs. And it
yes, man. Yes.
I don't know. It's just those types of things definitely push me. And then the last biggest milestone, and it kind of ties into one of my reasons, is that roller coaster that I wasn't able to get onto. That roller coaster, that exact same seat, front row, is where I proposed to my wife at. So, you know, we got on that roller coaster, and on the way up in that exact seat, I was able to turn to her and propose. And
that is heartwarming. Oh my goodness. I didn't know that either. Jeez, I barely know you. Oh my God. That is awesome. How that had to have, I mean, obviously proposing to anybody is emotional, but for you and that, like, for that being your, like, one of your main reasons why you started, I can't imagine the emotion that must have caused, like, for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if I could swear.
Yeah, swear.
So that was really a fuck yeah, fuck you moment.
Yes.
Sometimes the nightmare drives are better than the dream. And that was definitely one of those moments.
Heck yeah, dude. That I can't. Oh my god. I'm just trying to think. Like, I can't compare that to anything in my life. That is such a great. That's a great story, first of all, and then also just trying to imagine that feeling of like, yeah, I did. What I really wish. I wish the same attendant was there, and you could like. Oh. I wish you had the picture or something. That would have been crazy. Yeah. That's awesome. And then another thing I wanted to revisit is you fucking hiked the Grand Canyon, and I don't even know, in less than 2 or 3 years before that, I could be wrong on the time, but how long before you hiked the Grand Canyon were you not able to go upstairs, like 2 flights of stairs? You went from not being able to climb 2 flights of stairs after work to hiking the freaking Grand Canyon.
So let's see. So it was 2011 into 12. So 2011 November Black Friday. That was the weekend that I couldn't get up the stairs, and then I did the Grand Canyon last year, which is 2019. So 8 years later, from top to bottom and back up.
It's insane.
And, yeah. And that first Spartan Beast race was in 2016. So that really.
Oh yeah, your timeline is a lot quicker than that. I'm just saying, like, it's crazy to think of. I don't know. I feel people think that it would take too long, but like a year is such a small amount of time out of your life opposed to living in despair and misery.
Yeah,
you know?
It's great. Not that I get on social media like all day every day, but to see those like timelines, like where you were 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Yes.
And 2 days ago, one of them was from 10 years ago, was me sitting with this white t-shirt looking large and in charge, drinking a vanilla milkshake from McDonald's. So I look at that and you know how things have changed over the past 10 years.
Yes, they have. For the better, obviously. What would you attribute your consistency, like your own motivation, what drives you? Because you drive me for sure, like we've talked about, your mentor, you push everyone around you, but like what keeps you moving at this point? Because I mean, we just talked about the timeline, 8 years, and you've done so much. Like, what drives you to do more at this point when you seem to have like all of your goals achieved at this time?
Yeah, so as far as the consistency, it's having a personal philosophy, or really your personal mission statement. You know, any good business or company or movement has a mission statement, and my personal mission statement was to be uncommon amongst the uncommon, was to be willing to do the things that others won't, so I can do the other things that like others can't. So
yes.
It was really, you know, and my wife makes fun of me about it. She calls me like a Sith Lord as far as, you know, Star Wars terms for all you Star Wars nerds, but I'm absolute. If I'm gonna do something and I sign up for it, I'm getting it done, and you know, there's no quit, and that's the biggest thing that keeps me consistent. And I continue to have those milestones. So whether it was in 2016 having that beast race, that was a pinnacle. That was what I was striving for. I did it. So then, what was the next pinnacle? It was, you know, climbing 14,000 foot peaks in Colorado. Smashed them.
Yes.
So then it's, you know, from there it's you know, it was the Grand Canyon. That was one of the big ones, and I did that. So it's finding that next step to keep you going consistent.
I think most people have an issue with finding more goals. So where would you suggest someone to, I mean, obviously you can't like look, but where did you, what gave you the goals that you have now? Like, what gives you a goal every time you hit one? Like, where are you finding these goals of yours?
Yeah. Biggest thing would be find a goal that terrifies you. If it makes you sweat, that's a good goal to go after.
Yeah.
Like my next goal right now, it not necessarily completely physical, but is to cage dive with great white sharks.
Okay.
Talking about that right now, my palms are now sweaty.
Right. I believe it.
So, you know, that's going to take, that takes a tremendous amount of financial resource and time and planning. And so that's a goal of mine. So now that pushes me. And I think for anybody, no matter what goals you're going after, whether it's to lose weight or to just hit a physical, you know, performance goal, I think you should find something that terrifies you. And, you know, if you don't hit the mark, that's fine. But the effort to get to that mark, I guarantee you, you'll get there if you surround yourself with the right people.
Yes, and I believe I've said this in one of the prior podcasts, but like you try to hit that mark, and even if you don't, like you just said, you'd surround yourself with better people, but you also learn like 1,000 times more if you try and fail, opposed to just not trying at all. Yeah. You just sit in the same spot.
I mean, believe me, yeah, I've physical fitness, career wise, I've failed so many times. You'll hear about the success of losing weight and going on the roller coaster. But you don't hear about the time struggling, you know, with a bowl of pasta in front of you, or going out to dinner with friends and you're the one ordering a water with a salad while somebody's eating a burger, fries, and a Mountain Dew in front of you.
Mm. Yes. it's you can't even put all of those. We would have to have like a 72-hour podcast to fit all of those moments, you know. Like, we can fit all of our like achievements and pinnacles and all of our good moments for what we have done in like a reasonable podcast, but like for all the times that you fail, like I really like I can't even imagine the number of failures that I've had in everything, career.
You've had obstacles. I mean, when you tore your LCL and ACL, like I mean, that was that's an obstacle that you were able to overcome, dude. And the way I look at it is, if I was put in the same situation now, yes, I would probably be able to overcome that. But to be where you were at, to then have that stop you, that is a brick wall, and to push through it, dude, that's inspiring enough. And I give you all the credit for that, man.
Thank you very much. I think most people, when they would hit a wall like that, I think, don't just try to have it. I had a huge support system, so yes, like I'll take some credit and I appreciate it, but really, like, my brother came to my 400-pound brother came to my house with weights for me, and he would set up me, he would pick my pick my ass up and put me on the floor in order for me to work out and be able to do these things, and hand me the weights and whatnot, and he would work out with me, and it was really awesome. And another piece of that was he would then have to pick me up and put me in the shower afterwards. So God bless that man. Thank you, David. but and my mom making my food still, like, I don't know what my mom, the day after my surgery, not to take too much time out of your episode.
No, this is for everybody.
The day after my surgery, I had my mom pick me up like 2 bags of McDonald's. So she came in my room with the McDonald's and gave me the McDonald's. But with a stipulation that this was the only time she was going to fucking McDonald's for me, and that was the last time I was eating like that, which is crazy to me, because like when I played hockey as a little kid, my mom, we would go to McDonald's every time we had a hockey game, you know? So to hear that from my mom was like, okay, wow, we're really not going to just let all this progress go to waste. So it was the support system. Everybody needs like a great support system. And in that moment of my life where I just was working so hard and then hit a brick wall, It was really them who got me through it. Some self motivation, of course, but like the support system was the biggest thing for me in that moment. Whew. Damn, that takes me back.
That was a cool story, man. I haven't heard that one, so.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, not that you don't think people don't want to hear stuff like that, but it doesn't really cross your mind until you like sit down in front of someone who you've known for so long and then just to ask questions, you know. When I was writing the show notes for this, I was like, man, like, I thought it was going to be hard. I always think show notes are going to be hard, but when I'm really passionate about an episode, or I really enjoy the person, or think, like, I think very highly of you, I like, it flew. Like, I had questions that I wanted to put on here. I'm like, no, like, we need to make it a reasonably long I want a long episode, but I don't want it to be like 2 hours at this point. We'll try to fit it in an hour.
Well, we can always do part two, man. I'm always good.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And we got to get Krista on here too soon. So we're going to take a quick break for the sponsors. I think this is a good point to stop. We're going to be back with more life and mindset things that you were talking about, and what we're going to dive deeper into your head, basically, and how you stay balanced through health and fitness. And yeah, we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. All right, and we're back. Thank you all for listening through that. That's how we pay the bills around here. We're still here with Jordan Rahman, one of my good friends, mentors, inspiring. I don't know where I was going with that. One of my biggest inspirations in the gym is the way I would word it. We're talking about his – we've talked about his background and where he started and his mindset and growth through over the years and all of his achievements. And now we're going to talk about just general life and mindset, like how you get up and go to work, how you are such a nice person to everybody, like how you – became who you are and what keeps you who you are on a day-to-day basis, basically. So what makes you want to help everybody? And I believe I truly believe you are like one of the most helpful people I have encountered on this earth, so please don't try to say you don't. And I want to know like when that started, because I mean if it was like a thing you've always had, or when did you start helping people as much as you do now?
I was not. I mean, let's be honest. When I was heavy, I was not a huge proponent of involving myself in other people's business, or I didn't think I was an example. I found after losing, 60, 70 pounds, that people really wanted to know what was the difference. And even we had a conversation. I remember one day at Retro when you were just starting to go and work out, and it was after like flag football, and you asked me, I was losing all this weight, maybe it was after basketball, honestly, I don't know, but you asked me like how did you do it and what made you do it, kind of similar to the questions you're asking me now. And really I think the biggest thing is when you get to a specific level or you hit kind of a peak in fitness, where you do lose weight and you have a drastic change. I had pictures of my size 48 waist pants next to, at the time, I was probably at a 36 or 38, which was still, big compared to me now, but it's huge. I mean, it's a huge difference. So what makes me want to help people is just, no one really was able to reach out a hand to me. And not that I wish I had that, but I had support when I started losing weight and as I kept going. The more I kept consistent, the more people saw that and they wanted to support me. And I always thought that that was just the coolest thing. I had people who I didn't really know or, wasn't friends with telling me, even people from high school, they'd see me at the gym and I wasn't in great shape yet, but I definitely lost some pounds. And they just said, dude, you look awesome. Like, great job. And that's it. And I think,
it's inspiring.
Yeah, you get that. It makes you feel good, of course. And you get that and it makes you want to see that same reaction in people. You want to give that to someone. So when, and obviously I'm sure you see this all the time, but people reach out to you, I want to lose weight, I want this, I want to achieve that. And the biggest thing is I can tell them how to do it, but I can't make it do it for them. And I try to set that tone ahead of time. I'm willing to do whatever you need. I will get up at 5 a.m. and go for a run with you if that's what you need. But believe me, if I set my alarm for 4:30 and I am at the park at 5 and you're not there by 5:10, you're showing me your true color, and it sounds hardcore, yeah. But I'll encourage anybody who's willing to put in work. If somebody's 300 pounds and they can't jog for 30 seconds, well, guess what? I'm going to go at their pace until they can. And then once they get there, then I'm going to push them to jog for a minute. And once they get there, then I'm going to push them to jog for 5. And it's, I have no problem having patience. I think that's the biggest thing is I don't expect someone to be able to like the Grand Canyon in the first 6 months, and I tell people that flat out, and I think that's what makes me connect with people. And because I've been in their shoes, where I remember the days where I would try to run on the treadmill for 30 seconds and I would near black out, so I can still feel that right now, and so I can relate to someone. And if I can put that image in their head, like, hey, this is normal, like you feeling like you want to just quit is completely normal. And that drives me when I can see that to then where people get to. So, yeah.
And I think, I keep starting with, I think I got to choose different words. I know that you are like that, 'cause you've done it with me. Like, I remember our early morning workouts, and I apologize if I was ever the person who didn't show up, 'cause I know I definitely have the track record for the 5 a.m. workouts being a little tough. But I do think it's good to have that tough love, because people who get to that point where they're overweight, obese, or in a medical condition based off of that, like, people have been too nice to you for too long at that point. And I'm not saying you need to be a horrible, mean person to them, but like, you need a kick in the ass at some point to get you going. And I don't think many people have the luxury to just get sugar-coated BS like marketing or training systems that don't actually work. Like, it's gonna suck for like a month,
yeah.
At least. Yeah, it's gonna suck for a while, especially when you, if you are someone who is overweight and out of shape and you've never played sports, I can't even imagine how hard it is for you, because I've always played sports and I was still overweight. And the same with you, right? Like, you've always played sports.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like, I look at my wife, someone who, you know, she lost 80, 90 pounds. She never had an athletic background. She didn't play a single sport organized after the age of, you know, six. So to see her kind of come up is crazy, but she was willing to do that. And that was the biggest thing, you know. A lot of people, I think, that have lost weight, they've tried it multiple times, and something does just click eventually. And it's that mindset that you're the only one that can do it. And so when I say I don't, you know, like, I don't want to help everyone, it's not that I don't want to help everyone. I want to help everyone, but not everyone's at the right moment. You know, for me, it took that moment of the roller coaster. It took the moment of not being able to get up the steps to understand. So I think that moment needs to happen for everyone who wants to make a change in life. And I'm always going to encourage the heck out of people who get there. But until they're at that point, I can never pull people. You know, I'd rather run with one than pull and drag 20. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's a really good metaphor for that. Wow. I think, God damn it, I did it again. I believe you and Krista's mindset is almost scary to me. Like, I am very, like, you guys are so determined and so determined and so strong-minded in a good way, not in a bad way. It's scary. Like, when, like you said, when you choose to do something, you do it. And I've had one instance where everybody goes through a point where they're quitting in a diet or something like that. But if you can have that mindset, that strong mindset, for just a week or just 2 weeks, it becomes such a habit, and it's very hard to fall off. Especially if you can get yourself into a point where you think this is the time, like, tell yourself every day that this is the time where you're actually going to do it. And it'll help eventually. Even if it doesn't help this time, it'll help. When I was in high school, I would always say, like, this summer, man, I'm getting abs. This is the summer I'm getting abs. It's freshman year, I'm getting them. Sophomore year, I'm getting them. And I didn't get them at all in my life, first of all. But after high school, I told myself the summer after after my first year of college. And that was the summer. But it took 5 years of me telling myself I'm going to do it and lying to myself, basically. But eventually you'll follow through with yourself, because you're kind of like, man, why am I, like, I'm lying to myself at this point. I need to really follow through. And I think you two have the, like, craziest mindset. And obviously everybody goes through some struggles with, like, their fitness jersey, health balance, or whatever, which we're going to get into. But I really can feel your guys's, like, determination whenever I talk to both of you.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. All the kind words.
Absolutely. Yes. There's more. There's more kind words, I promise. I could go for two more podcasts.
Only two.
We're going to talk. Only two. They're long. Career-wise, you've always been a man. I've never had necessary. I don't want to speak bad about my past managers or anything like that, but especially in retail, it's kind of hard. Like, you get the sense that everybody's, like, just there for a paycheck and just there because they need to eat. I've never really gotten that with you, and I've never worked for you, but I've been around you, and we've talked about work, and we've talked about our own careers, and you talked about things that you do at your jobs or cool things. And I'm very curious on why you've always been that personal and passionate about your job and working with the people that you do, even at, like, a retail level, when some people are just, like, there for their salary.
Yeah. So this question honestly threw me for a loop a little bit, because I never consider myself to be out of the ordinary. But I think what it really boils down to is, anything you do, doesn't matter if you're, you know, scrubbing toilets, washing dishes, an employee at a retail establishment, or a manager at a retail establishment, or whatever you do, you're writing your own story, and that's something that one of the managers when I was younger, who I kind of looked up to, he put into different words. But you're writing your story, so what do you want people to know when you leave a job? You know, do you want them to know you as the guy who, you know, he punched the clock, he did the bare minimum of what they asked of him, and he was nice to everyone, and he was a jokester, and he played around? Or do you want to be the person that, you know, set the tone when you know, I'm going to speak of myself in the third person, but when Jordan goes to work, you know, when Jordan got to punched in, he was always, you know, the one that was pushing everyone to do their best. He was always the guy smiling. He was always the guy working hard. And that passionate, I guess, mentality and mindset really can help you stand out. And not that I wanted to stand out, but it helps you excel. You know, if your job isn't what you want to do, then obviously, and we'll talk about it later, you know, find something else. But when you're employed by someone, why not put everything you have into it? Because at the end of the day, you're getting a paycheck, and you want that story when you leave that place to be, wow, they did X, Y, and Z, and you know what? Good person.
Yes, and you never want to burn bridges. And I think you, I mean, I've never heard of you burning a bridge, obviously. And I think this is where I'll talk necessarily, not to put anything on any generation or anything like that, but I think it's your age, where most of these people that I see now, they'll kind of just go from job to job and don't really care, call out and whatnot. But my work ethic that was instilled by my parents, and like I worked at my dad's restaurant, and that was huge for me. I see that in you as well. Like tenfold. like tenfold. It's insane to see such a hard worker, and the work ethic where you don't, you go above and beyond in everything, and it would be better. I wish to achieve that level of work ethic in anything I do, let alone a job where I'm working for, like, so the passion that you have at a job where you have a boss, it's harder to have it, but like in the stuff like your own creations or your own passions outside of work that you have, it's twice as much as what you have at work, which is crazy. And I think you being so passionate is so contagious at your job, just because everybody, it doesn't seem, whenever I walked into a store that you were managing, I've never felt that somebody was there just for a paycheck. Nobody seemed like gloomy, nobody seemed down, nobody was hating their life while they're at their 9 to 5. And that's something that is good for all managers out there, whether you're in a fitness setting or retail or restaurant, whatever. You got to really care about your employees, and whether it's hanging out with them outside of work or just making their job at work enjoyable and giving them something to strive for, you know, like everyone needs goals. And I don't think many establishments give them something to reach that's obtainable other than sales goals or something like that. And you do very well at motivating your team.
I appreciate those kind words, sir. I think the biggest thing with all my travel in retail, I was, for most of the companies I've worked for, they've hired me to go fix locations up, build them up, and then move on to the next one. And so when I go into a new setting or a new location, the first thing I do is I don't try to boss people around. I try to show them what the standard of excellence is. So I get to know everyone, and I get to know them personally, and then I don't tell them to do anything. I just go do it. And then they see that. And then so when I have that follow-up conversation, I can say, hey, did you see how I did this, this, and this? What do you think? How can I do it better? And even though I've probably done it 1,000 times, and it might be they've only done it 10, the fact that I'm giving them that input, I'm allowing them to be a part of the conversation, can help. No matter if it's retail jobs, no matter what it is, I think including, like especially if you're a manager or if you're in charge of people, I think including them in the discussion is something that's missed. And when you include someone in the discussion, they have ownership over it, whether they love their job or not. You know, being in retail can be very exhausting, and you can go home with almost no gratification. But if you feel like you were part of the plan and that you helped execute it, it gives you some inclusiveness.
Absolutely. Where did you learn this? Like, you've always had it, or did you to go through training?
Lots of reading, lots of training, lots of networking with different people. Back to the health and fitness thing. But if you want results of someone, if you want somebody else's results, if you want to, you know, if you want abs, if you want, you know, big giant muscles, if you want to be able to squat 400 pounds, are you going to go to someone who doesn't squat? Are you going to go to someone who squatted 500 and try to learn how they did it? You know, you're going to go to that person who's done it before and ask them every single question until it bothers them. and you know, and then apologize and then ask them another question. And then that's that's how it should be really in life. You know, when you want to, for people who want to trade cryptocurrencies or stocks, you can read to a certain point, but you also need to speak to someone who's done it. And I think that helps.
To stick with your like personality and kind of just like you as a person, what do you think is the main reason that you're so empathetic and positive? Like, why are you that way? Because as we've said, like, not everybody is like this. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to be a clone of Jordan Rahman, but like these qualities
Please
that you
don't.
Have are so right, because then I'll never win another online Madden game ever in the history of my life. why these qualities that you have are so good for so many different like positions and different places, and they fit so well in any like structure, really. And like, yes, I wish everybody would have empathy, but there's not like, that's not a realistic goal. But you definitely need to understand what it is, and like, so why do you have it, and what keeps you having so much of it, even though the world may be so cold at sometimes?
You know, the biggest thing is gratitude. I've got gratitude for every single person that I've come in contact with, whether they've impacted me negatively or positively. You have to be grateful. So for instance, like even yesterday, I leave the grocery store with Krista, we're walking out, and the security guard, this young girl, she's sitting there clearly like bored out of her mind, has to wear gloves, and like isn't, you know, near all these people in this current pandemic. So I just stood 6 feet away and I thanked her for like 5 seconds. I just stopped on the way out. I said, hey, thank you for being here. I'm so sorry that, you know, you have to be here in this current state, but I just want to let you know I'm grateful that you guys are open, and I'm grateful for what you do. Never met the girl, but she turned to me and she was just like, oh my God, thank you so much. And for me, that feeling of just like, wow, I probably just made the next hour at least of her shift like way better. And all it took me was an extra 5 seconds of smiling, making eye contact, and thanking someone. So I think if you do that in all aspects of life, just be grateful. One of the things that Krista and I do, excuse me, I gotta drink water. One of the things that Krista and I do before we go to sleep every night, once we get into bed, is we have to say three things that we're grateful for. Could be small, doesn't have to be giant. Could just be that I'm not, you know, I don't have the coronavirus. But, you know, it could just be that I didn't get in an accident on the highway today when I was driving to work. The little things like that. But if you're grateful and you keep that going, then there's no reason that you're gonna have these bad days or these negative thoughts. And I won't go too deep into it, but there's a scientific proven research. There's a scientific explanation to how you think. So if you surround yourself with this positivity, if you're saying what you're grateful for, if you're waking up and taking, you know, even if it's 30 seconds to just sit in complete silence without your phone, to clear your head, those types of things wire your brain differently. And when you wire your brain to not complain, when you wire, it's the same reason why, again, that 5 a.m. alarm, why you don't want to hit snooze, or you don't want to set it to 5:01 or any of that. You create these grooves in your brain. Your brain is a pattern that you can groove into. And if you consistently do that, that just became second nature. I don't have to think about thanking that girl. I just thanked her because she was standing there and I felt bad. You know, she's getting paid, but I'm sure that wasn't her ideal situation, is to be there at 8 o'clock at night on a, you know, on a Monday night, but it was just natural.
Yeah. And creating those grooves, not just, I think it's great that you do that. The end of the day situation where you're saying what you're grateful for, both of you, obviously, is amazing. And thanking those people that have normal, everyday lives where they probably don't get that much gratitude from people, especially at, like, grocery store or Walmart. And I really enjoy that feeling as well whenever you go and thank someone like that, or whether it's your wait. Like, my favorite thing is when, like, you have a good waiter or waitress at a restaurant. Like, you really, like, hey, you're, like, one of the best waitresses here. Just, you could do it in any setting. And then, like you said, it doesn't take that much at all.
You know, even if you see somebody who's maybe not smiling, give them a compliment while you're walking down the street. You know, whatever it may be. You might think you're being weird, but I know all of us have gotten a compliment or somebody said something to us that made us feel good. And some of us have held on to some of those moments. And you could be a kind of turn point moment. You don't know what someone else is going through. And I've heard it from, from multiple, like, podcasts and different things. But, like, that person is just an adult form of a baby. We're all babies in an adult meat sack,
right?
So why not just, like, treat them like as nice as you possibly can, even if you don't know them, because that could just spread. I don't know, the way I look at it.
The ripple effect, we've talked about that, I'm sure, is just that one compliment, you know, that could change the outline of that person's day. And maybe they don't, like, fight someone that later on that day. Maybe they're having a bad day and that compliment, like, helps them get through their day of work. They don't call in sick or something. It's endless rewards for such a simple act. And I think it's silly that they're, like you said, you might feel silly doing it, but the taboo part of that should just go away and people should just compliment. And don't be fake about it, but, like, I truly enjoy some people's clothing or, like, 100%. Their shoes. Like, yo, those are sweet shoes. I say that all the time. Because that's how I feel, and it just people don't say how they feel just because it's weird or what, but I think that is also growing out of people's the norm of society at this point. Like, the new kids, they'll tell you when they like stuff. Like, yo, every time I go and play basketball, I guarantee you somebody says to another kid, and it's usually younger, like, yo, those are fresh kicks or something along those lines. People are much more willing to compliment each other nowadays than it used to be. For me in high school, elementary school, I do not remember a single compliment being made in elementary school for anybody. Not just, like, I'm not saying it was poor me, like, I don't remember any kid getting a compliment from another one. Everybody was too insecure at that point. And that's obviously, with age, it'll grow out, but at the point where these kids are at now, like, I think my little sister compliments people, and that's just freaking sweet. And I'm glad to see these new ideas coming through the generations to be better human beings, basically.
Yeah. I think that obviously there's a lot of negativity out there, but I think the just overall consensus of people is on the upswing, I think, as a country and as a world. There's a lot more positivity.
Yes. Last thing I want to talk about your professional career, because we talked about a decent bit, is what would you say your we've talked about your proudest moments in fitness. What's your proudest professional moment, like, in your career?
Proudest professional moment? It's hard to say, man. I haven't begun to hit that peak yet, personally, I don't think. But I've helped a
I would disagree.
I haven't hit the peak of where I want to be. Again, but I was striving for that next goal. The biggest, proudest moment I've had is helping other people achieve their professional goals. So, for instance, not that I've helped you put together a podcast or anything, but I know I've helped you open up your capacity to do a podcast, to have a brand, to make money in different avenues, and to become a personal trainer, all of these things. And maybe it was just that one conversation of when you asked how I did it, and I just, you know, told you, like, you gotta stick your nose to the ground, you gotta push through it, it's gonna suck, but then it's gonna be the best thing ever. Maybe it's just that one thing that you say to someone, but the proudest moments are when I can help, especially somebody younger than I, who maybe doesn't have that role model or that mentor. When they ask you a question, you can really, or just multiple questions, you can answer them and really just support them. I think support systems, you hear about it, but I think they're very undervalued in the world. And, you know, whether it's a mastermind or, I don't know, you see those commercials for Facebook kazoo groups, you know, there's a kazoo group or whatever. that's awesome. You know, for me, I'm not going to play the kazoo, but somebody started that. Somebody's helping others to feel inclusive with their professional goals. And I mean, professionally, it's really nice to see. I've seen part-time associates become full-time managers to making, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, and seeing them, you know, meet all their wildest dreams. It's very cool. And you know, coming forward, and I'm gonna plug real quick, but coming forward, for instance, the podcast that my wife and I are doing, Fumbling Around Podcasts, mind you, on Instagram, Twitter, all the social media avenues. That's the reason why we're starting that podcast, and we've been talking about it for a while now, is we think it's a way to help people, couples, individuals come together. You know, football's such a cool sport, and it's so big, and it's so epic. But there's so much more to it than just watching, you know, a pigskin go up and down a field. So that I can't wait. We posted our first episode, and that is up. But I can't wait to see the feedback, because there are people who are already reaching out that are saying, like, you know, I want to understand how you taught your wife football so I can teach it to my girlfriend. And those are just going to be proud moments. And I know that's not necessarily a 100% professional career, but I think it's all the same. And anything you do, you should want to reach these peaks.
Make it a professional. Yeah, absolutely could be. Like, just how this podcast could someday be my profession. I think people need to start shooting for the stars a lot more. And instead of just being, I mean, there has to be a mid-tier. That sounds bad. There has to be a middle class or and a low, like, there has to be different classes of people, and you're not everybody is going to be all the way up there, but I want everybody to shoot to be that good, because even if you don't make it to the very top, you're 375% better than where you just were, and that's still worth all the effort.
I always say 1% better every day. That's what I talk to anybody I come in contact with, whether it's fitness, professional, financial. Be 1% better every day. If you can progress in one thing 1% every day, you are going to achieve whatever you want. And that speaks volumes to most people.
Something I wanted to touch on when you were talking, as you said, like, you helped make this podcast. And I think, excuse me, burp. You're being humble, but absolutely. And I'm just going to do a little ripple effect timeline real quick. So I met Jordan after I started playing flag football, because my buddy Jackson wanted me to, like, this is right around, I was trying to lose weight myself, but I was doing it unhealthily and just eating 1,000 calories a day, like, very bad habits. And at 280 pounds, like, and working out and running and trying to just, like, melt the fat off, like, 1,000 calories is clearly not enough. But that wasn't in my head at the time. We went to play football on your team. I met you. We started working out, and you point me in the direction of Jim Stepani with great, like, programs for free, great supplementation, and just pretty much, like, giving me someone else to talk about it, because nobody really wants to, like, if you are just starting your journey, you need to surround yourself with people who go to the gym, because, like, your normal friends are not really going to want to hear it. Like, luckily for me, Jackson and you were both people who enjoyed going to the gym, but that was it, man. And it's not that I was, like, the most popular kid, but I had a bunch of acquaintances and nobody wanted to talk about it. Nobody was excited about my new pre-workout, you know? And so that being able to go through that source and having you as a support system for sure. And then the connection that we had, like, I was in liberal arts. I was going to be a gym teacher. You giving me that power to take my life back, basically, and not be huge, and finding my true passion in the gym, because after we started and, like, I saw that you got to help people, I wanted that. Like, I wanted to be you, in a sense of where you're able to help people lose weight, and that fired me up to get the GNC job and then become GNC manager and then go switch. And not even just that, you pushed me in my own personal life too. Like, when we were in the gym and I was like, hey, I think that girl likes me. And you're like, oh yeah, she totally does. And at that point, and I know it sounds like I'm not bragging no reason, that point, when I went up and that shifted my whole life, because then I found out at the school I was at, because of that girl, there was a personal training program And I would have never have known that if that didn't happen. So that shifted my entire life, like, a crazy direction. Like, I don't even, there's not enough degrees to tell you how far that shifted my life. And then after the personal training, after like the managing GNC, and I finally got into actual personal training and the brand, the podcast, like, if I had any questions on anything, I would come to you. So you most certainly don't downplay at all. This man has literally shaped this entire brand and me as a person for the last 6 years or however long I have met you or however long I have known you. And it is not something to downplay at all. The ripple effect is real, and this is a perfect example. And I just wanted to touch on that and thank you, obviously. And the last thing I had for that was for your podcast, Fumbling Around, right?
Yeah, Fumbling Around podcast, yes.
I want to hear a rules on, like, what you can and can't bring to, like, Super Bowl or Sunday football parties. Like, what foods are acceptable and things like that. And that was my only idea I had
for that. Oh, man. So the nice thing is you can eat wings, obviously a little bit higher in fat content, but they're pretty macro-friendly when you put them with just hot sauce. I try to stay away from the breads and the pretzel beer dips and the cheeses and... That's the biggest thing, man. You can do some jalapeno poppers with a turkey bacon wrapped around it. Yeah, find some fit foods. We'll be talking about some recipes on the podcast and different things that we do. Yep.
All right. I think this is the good time for our last ad, and then we'll be right back with some more life and mindset balance things, and then we'll also touch on some advice for all of our viewers out there. Be right back. And we're back. Thank you once again. This is a long podcast, so we threw two of them Addy boys in there. We're still here with my man, Jordan Rahman.
Hello, hello.
It's been a great episode so far. I hope everybody out there has gained a lot of value. I know I have myself, even just being able to talk to this amazing person.
You're too kind.
Each time I learn something new. I could say way more. All right, let's get into this healthy balance stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is the fun stuff.
When we're talking about... yes. So when we talk about health balance, we're talking about, like, your life and your fitness. Like, some people live too much in the gym. Like, that's your whole life. And I believe a prior episode where we had Dakota Sprague, like, he even admitted that. Like, that... And I did, too. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but I used to, like, stay at the gym for, like, 3 hours, not working out the whole time, but just because that's where everybody was. It was almost like a social gathering. Like, it was fun to be there. And the gym kind of became who I was, I guess, you know? Did you ever experience anything? Like, did you ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay if
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, there was a point, especially when I first started dating Krista, where I was in the gym. I'd do 2-a-days every day. So I'd be in the gym in the morning.
I remember.
Yeah, cardio or some weightlifting, and then definitely harder lifting at night. And it's really hard to have a good relationship with someone new when you're always in the gym and they're like, hey, let's go to the movies, and I'm like, nah, I have legs.
Yes, for sure.
Which, you know, obviously there's balances to everything.
Yeah, so for you, like, at that was a different point in your time, like, at this point in your life, how important is it to you to have that healthy life and fitness balance, and what do you do?
Man, if I've learned anything over the past 8 to 10 years of the fitness journey, it is the balance. I think I've learned that very well at this point. So my motto has always been, like, the work hard, play hard. So playing hard is a big thing now that I also incorporate. So for instance, my wife and I have a mandatory date night once a week where we have to literally, there's no fitness involved, there's no professional financial stuff involved. It's literally like we have a date, and what happens, you know, it's like Vegas. It's like what happens on the date night stays in the date night. But it helps, right. You,
that's awesome.
It helps your balance. Cheat nights like that always, they're so helpful because, one, you get this stress release, because you do, like, if you've been in the gym for 3 hours a day and you go 6 days a week minimum and you do it for a couple months and you're in this grind and you feel amazing, you might feel fatigued, but these days, the specific times that you set aside time, help you reset. So I find after that date night, whether it's going to, you know, a couple months ago we went to a Nuggets game for date night and got like, you know, bleacher creature nosebleed seats. Had a you know, had a few drinks, and I'm not proposing everyone drink alcohol, but you know, we had a few drinks or whatever. Then we go downtown and we go dancing, and then we finish the night off with two giant slices of pizza. It's a good night, man. But the next day you wake up, and the biggest thing is anytime I'd have a cheat meal or a cheat day or whatever, where I ate like crap or felt like crap after, that next day I always got down on myself. For no reason looking back at it, but you know, it was like, well, now I'm killing all this progress. And as you know, if you have, you know, you have one or two meals that are not clean, let's just say, it doesn't set you back as far as you really think. And what I found now is actually just like it's a mental reset. It's like hitting the reset button. I start back off, and I maybe take that day off, and I'm not fatigued as much that following day. So say we go out on a Friday night, which is usually what Krista and I do. By Sunday, I'm ready to go, man. I've meal prepped Saturday night just to prepare me for the next week, and I'm ready to go, and I work even harder. I feel great. I've gotten some rest. You know, it pushes you. You're like, I don't want to be back at that Friday 1 a.m. point.
Right. And probably like a decompress too. Like where you're at as a manager, you have to worry about a lot of things, where you're at in life, like all the goals that you have, it puts a lot of stress on you. And it's definitely hard to just take a minute and breathe and enjoy like what you do have at the time instead of always wishing for more. And that one day a week where you're able to just enjoy each other, I can't imagine how much relief, maybe even a little anxiety at the beginning. For me particularly, I always feel like, dude, I could be doing something. But once you finally get yourself engulfed in that moment of just enjoying each other's company and enjoying whatever the activity is you're doing, that's huge for any couples out there, or anybody who's married, any fitness people having issues. Like, definitely, I think taking out the fitness aspect of it is huge, because going to the gym together, that's not a date. I don't even talk to anybody when I lift.
No.
Or I do, when I have a good lift, I'm not talking to anybody, especially not someone. I mean, if you're living with this person, going to the gym together, I don't think that should constitute as a date. That's literally not even close for me. Not my idea of a date, at least.
No.
That's definitely a great idea.
Yeah, I think scheduling that time so you know what's coming also pushes you a little bit harder in those last few days beforehand, too. Because you're like, you know what?
Right.
I'm going to earn those slices of pizza. I'm going to earn that cheeseburger and fries or whatever it's that you do. I'm going to earn that giant donut or piece of cake. It pushes you. You're like, you know, it's Friday morning. I'm like, this is the last workout before I'm going to hit, you know, the calories hard tonight. Let me put it in a little bit harder. And you just, you bounce back. But again, at first you look at it and you're like, well, why would I do that? But you have to have those mental resets. And not to get off on a tangent, but at one point, while I was losing weight and training for this Spartan Beast race and getting married 6 months after that race, I was full-time in school trying to finish up my degree. I was working a full-time job. I was working a part-time job. And, you know, I had a fiance, and I sacrificed our relationship. And fortunately enough, you know, Krista understood what I was doing. I was trying to, you know, pay for our wedding. I was trying to finish up the degree and still stay healthy. And she kind of gave me some slack, if you will. But I mean, I was going 85, 90 hours a week. I could tell you where I was going to be next Tuesday at 6:15 p.m. to the T. I could tell you a month from now where I was going to be at any point. And I burn out. I remember I've done it multiple times where I go hard and then I get sick and it delays, it puts me out for a week. You know, I catch something or whatever. And it's way harder to come back from something like that than to just build in, you know, once a week or whatever your goals are, to just have that stress relief.
Gold, man. Freaking gold. I think, man, I need to look up synonyms or whatever the correct term is for other ways to say I think.
don't get too hard on yourself.
I think, once again, a lot of people are in the same shoes where they're working like crazy, and it could be the economy. It could be like we're very motivated to do well in life, but you definitely drive yourself into the dirt at some point. Like you said, you get sick, and that's not by chance.
No.
Like you're gonna get, if you're working 80 hours or 90 hours and you're exhausting yourself in the gym and not getting any sleep, you're putting yourself like crazy high chance for getting sick.
Oh,
and
it's not healthy,
that's
man.
Horrible.
I was taking caffeine pills to get through my second job. You know, that's just not healthy. It's not something that's gonna bring you positive results. You know, and we all have seasons. So if you're doing it and you have to do it for whatever reason, kudos to you, and I support you in that. But just don't keep that drive, that mentality for too long, because it'll delay you.
Yeah, it'll actually set you back farther than you think. Like, you'll get a certain point and you'll think you'll be so close, and you should be so close after working so hard for so long, but if you have to stop for 2 months afterwards because you catch some sort of like pneumonia or whatever, like whatever sickness you gain, even if it's less than that, if it's 2 weeks, like you set yourself back a lot. If you work at a normal and healthy pace, you'll get farther in the long run than if you burn yourself out every 3 months and then you're like, well, I don't even like doing this anymore. And that's what happens with a lot of people's passions or whatever. They'll go too hard and too fast for too long, and then they'll ruin what they love. And that's horrible. That's a horrible feeling.
Absolutely.
So what are the ways that you improve, whether it be if you have, like, say you've been eating donuts for weeks on end and like pizza every night, whenever you fall out of the loop, what are some ways you improve either your life, both? Yeah, actually life and your fitness. What are some techniques that you do?
Yeah.
Ways?
Yeah. There's little strategies that I've learned over the past few years. So, I find that anytime I go on vacation for like a big vacation, I come back and I've definitely, you know, I've eaten some calories, I've gained some pounds, I haven't worked out much, and I used to get down on myself, but the way I snap back now is I always make sure that next day that I start time-restricted eating for probably for 3 to 4 days after I get back from a vacation. I plan to do this, which time-restricted eating, you'll hear a lot of time, the common term is like intermittent fasting. Yeah. But I do that. I eat a lot of greens in that hour, or in that time frame. So when I do eat, I usually don't eat until 2 p.m., 1:30 p.m. in the day. And I try to, first meals is a high-protein, high-green diet. And I find that helps me kind of snap back a little bit quicker. I don't feel like I'm malnourished. I feel, because, you know, after 2 to 3 days of eating, if you go away to vacation or whatever, and you go to the beach and you're having drinks and you're eating fried food and all that, you feel like a tub of lard when you get back.
For sure.
So I find building that in definitely helps. And the same thing is like as far as if I have like a really bad cheat meal, or maybe I go a little bit too overboard on a day. Time restricting helps me kind of snap back. It helps, scientifically, it snaps your metabolism back into place, and it helps you reset. So that's kind of my big hack is I always have like super greens, like a scoop of super greens with protein. It tastes disgusting, yep, but it definitely does help you reset. And then I always time restrict, so I'll have like a 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. eating window for 3 to 4 days minimum after a big like vacation or something like that.
That's awesome advice, and I definitely recommend people do the high protein and high green things. I think that it would be difficult, but I believe that if you jump right back into it like that, that's probably your best bet. Because if you think like, oh, I'll just take another day of just eating like crap, you're gonna throw it all away, and you're just gonna start eating like garbage.
And planning. So again, that's the biggest thing. So like, for me, like I said, vacations, I like to enjoy my vacations. A vacation's a vacation for a reason.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So like, for instance, this past September, we went to Disney, and I knew I was gonna, like we had a food budget, man. I knew I was gonna eat. I knew I was gonna probably have a few drinks. I'm talking about alcohol a lot. I don't drink that often, but
Well, you're on vacation,
yeah,
man. You absolutely understand.
Yeah, so you wanna enjoy it. But I knew that the day I got back, I already had that schedule written for the next 3 to 4 days. I knew exactly, you know, what I was going to do in the process. So that way, when I did get home and that following day, it was already in my brain. I was ready to go. That was the plan all along.
Yeah, having the plan set and ready and getting your mind to understand what you're going to do is great great trick to definitely make it so you're not like, oh crap, like no, you already expected this, you already knew this was happening, and you just deal with it at this point. The other way around now, so you talked about when you go on vacation and you go off of the grid, like for fitness wise, but what about when you get like too deep in fitness where you're going on the 2 days? What pulls you out of the 2 days and 80 hours of work? You know, what pulls you back into enjoying life?
Support. So my wife is, Krista is the rock. she'll guide me back in. So she understands when I'm burning myself out, which I'm getting better, but I still tend to do. I just go hard and just keep hitting it. And I think having that consistent, again, I've been talking about building in a specific day or specific times where you do take the mental, physical rest. You do eat, you do plan a fun adventure for every, you know, for every six workouts, make sure you do one fun thing, you know, keep some type of system in place. And I think keeping that consistent over the year, I don't have that issue anymore where I get burnt out because I'm always building in something. So for instance, this month it was going to be going to the NFL draft, and obviously with the current state of the world, it's not happening and it's all canceled, but we booked flights in a hotel to the NFL draft, and I knew that 4 days was going to be just, it's going to set me off on my fitness goals. But we also planned for when we get back, we had a routine ready, and we have an obstacle course race in May. So we go in April, and then
you hat.
What's that? This hat?
Oh no! I'm pumping. You're talking great. I love it. I was saying yes, like you already had the plan, and you guys have to get back and ready.
Yeah, yeah. So it's having that routine, having consistency, because you won't lose. You won't be on the other side, honestly, if you keep consistent and you build in the downtime.
Yes. Sorry. I was just, when I'm listening to you talk, I'm just like, I'm just like the listener. I'm enjoying every moment of it. And I was just like putting my fist up like, fuck yeah, I love this shit.
Oh, you're good, man.
That's a really good, I find both with my clients, I find that both ways it happens. People will either not show up because they're too lazy. They don't want to show up to the gym, or they don't want to be like get scolded for not coming in that week. Which I don't really scold people, but you do have to put like a foot down, be like, dude, where were you the last 2 days without me? Because I have clients come in and work out with me, and then, you know, 2 or 3 days a week they come in by themselves. I have that happen, but then I also have people who are like, hey man, I can't make it, I gotta go to work. Like, I gotta work on this play. Yeah, I've got places to be, you know? And I think there's both of those people that would be listening to this, so I'm very thankful that you had an example of both. That was really good.
The biggest thing I want to add to that is sometimes after you cheat for a few days, and I know you mentioned it, like you're not sure if you want to try to step in, day one, and after 3 days of eating crappy and the fourth day try to get back into it. Krista and I have a rule of what we call sweatpants workouts, where if you really feel that shitty, go into your sweatpants and a big old hoodie, go into the theater room, go into the sauna, wherever, and just go to the gym. Doesn't matter if you work out hard or if you just literally sit on the bike and pedal at, a walking pace.
Right.
Just get there, because then that day five, you're going to feel awesome, and you're going to be more inclined to have a good workout and to get back into that rhythm.
That's awesome. Yep. Sweatpants rule. That's great. Yep. Hashtag sweatpants rule. And then do you think where you're at now, this is for everybody there, but this is more of just more or less just self-evaluating for you. Like, do you feel where you're at now is a healthy balance between fitness and life? Like, what steps would you need to improve on either?
I mean, there's always room for improvement, but yeah, I think right now, over the past year and a half to 2 years, I've learned an incredible balance, and it does help having, again, somebody to support you. My wife has definitely kept me in check to the point where now I wanna build in that cheat night or whatever, because it's fun to have.
Right. Awesome. Shout out Krista. OG.
Oh yeah.
So that's all we had for the healthy balance. Lastly, we're just going to talk to our viewers now, listeners, about what any questions I thought that they might have, and I was hoping to answer them here at the end, like when they're listening to you talk and kind of hearing your story and maybe even connecting with your story, these are some answers I thought I would ask if I was listening. So to someone who's trying to lose weight, from someone who's done it, what do you think, what would you tell them to do?
Man, the first thing, I am very blunt and direct when it comes to this question because I've gotten it asked a lot of times. The first thing I tell people is this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but it'll be the best decision you ever make. And I don't sugarcoat it by any means. I used to say, well, you know, you can kind of dabble your foot in. It doesn't work. So I set that tone. Mm-hmm. Like, the next 30 days are going to be probably the most difficult 30 days of your life. But once you hit that point, you know, you are going to be off, you know, off to the races. You're going to skyrocket. And that also helps me determine, like, is this person really, truly willing to put in the work? If I tell them that and they're like, yeah, maybe I don't want to start then hey, guess what? They're not at that mental point where they can actually push it to get to their health or life goals. So it's just, my advice is just, it's going to be so hard. And I'm going to relate to you every step of the way. Tell me when it's the worst thing you've ever experienced, because I guarantee you I have a similar story to relate to you with. But just know that this is the best decision you're ever going to make.
Fuck yeah. Damn right. You most certainly have been there. I've seen, I'm sure when we post this, we'll link your, people can go check out your Instagram.
And any questions, man, they can hit you up, hit me up, Fumbling Around Podcast, or even the Jordan Ramen. I'll answer any questions.
I was just about to say, they could, and that you, I think you have transformation photos on there too.
Oh, yeah.
If you have, anybody wants to see this man's crazy transformation, please head over to his Instagram, the Jordan Ramen.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple more questions for someone who's, so you've made it all the way down, so you started very high weight,
yeah,
obese and unhealthy, and you made it all the way down, and then as soon as you got there, like your tone changed. You're like, man, I'm trying to get huge. Like, I'm trying to get strong. I'm trying to get big. Like, what would you have? Because you've gone both ways. You've gone down and you've gone up. And so, like, what would you say for someone who's trying to gain weight? And I mean, this is probably the hardest clientele, or the hardest. I have the hardest time connecting with these people because I've always just, not in a bragging sense, I've always just been a bigger person. And even when I lost weight, I can't stay at that body fat healthily.
Yeah,
like for me personally, I'm not able to do that. So for someone who is actively trying to gain weight, like, what is your recommendation to them?
Yeah, so I definitely experienced this. So again, like you said, high end, low end, I got down to the 140s, which I was
<That's> fucking insane.
Yeah, you know, at the time I thought it was going to be the best thing ever. And I was running a 5k every day minimum. I had a hour lunch break, and I would go, I'd run a 5k, shower, change back in my work clothes, and go back to work, which wasn't healthy. So for anybody who's trying to gain weight, obviously reach out to a personal trainer or somebody who's certified to help you first off. Like for me, I was lucky to come in contact with you know, a mutual friend of ours, Paul Morse.
Yes, great guy.
Awesome guy. And he's, you know, what's funny is he was the guy in the gym who, like, aesthetically was, he looked like a sculpture. And he still does to this day, man. He looks awesome. But I always looked at that dude and I was like, I don't want to talk to him. And one day, you know, I approached him and then we ended up working together. And he's the nicest dude in the world. And he just told me a lot of really just things that I was doing wrong. I started working out differently. So rather than going into the gym doing 15 to 20 reps as hard as I could, as heavy as I could, till I couldn't lift my arms, till I couldn't walk, he definitely told me that there was a different way that I should be working out if I wanted to gain size or gain mass. And I had a fear of carbs because I used caloric restriction to lose weight. I was still eating, and you talked about it earlier, like, you know, losing weight isn't, the best option is not to eat 1,000 calories and work out hard. So I had a fear of carbs, man. I wouldn't touch pasta. I wouldn't touch a potato. You wouldn't see me with even brown rice, like, in my meal prep. And I learned that getting over that mentality that, like, these foods aren't bad for me, that I actually need these to sufficiently fuel my body. Right. And to gain that weight is the biggest thing. And the other thing is, you know, like a lot of people take these mass gainers. I've had a couple friends who, you know, they're extremely underweight from where they want to be, and they'll take the mass gaining shakes and eat, you know, drink two of those a day and try to eat 2,000 calories. But you have to give it that time. It's going to take at least a month before your body even starts to adapt into what you're eating and how you're trying to shape your body. So don't tell me that you've gone to the gym for the past 3 weeks and you haven't gained a pound. No worries, got you. One, you're building up your muscle memory. Two, you're building up strength. You're learning exercises better. All of these things are positive. So just keep sticking with it and come back to me at month 3 and tell me you're not gaining any weight.
Right, which you won't be able to, because you would have gained weight at that point if you were consistent with all those other things.
Absolutely. It comes down to that consistency piece. So for people who are trying to gain weight, it is a struggle, and I understand, but you need to just stick with it and don't quit, man. 3 months. Give me 3 months. Eat 2,400 calories a day for 3 months, which sounds like a lot. It's really not. and get it done.
And shout out to Paul Morris. Definitely agree with you there. He was – I felt the same exact way when I saw him in the gym. I was kind of like, man, fuck this guy. He looks fucking Adonis. It's crazy.
Yeah, right?
It's nuts. And most – like, that's why I would say, like, at least give people a chance in the gym. And even if people – I've experienced with, like, the – what people call a resting bitch face. Like, yeah, people will have that in the gym, and then as soon as they, like, say something to them, they take their headphone out, they're like, hey, how are you doing? Like, they'll be nice, you know. And Paul was one of those people for sure, not necessarily with the resting bitch face, but he just looked so he looked like he ran the place, and it was intimidating for sure. And I definitely think you should give people more of a chance in and outside of the gym than just the first look.
That's a personal image thing. Like, even out here in Colorado, you know, one of my buddies, Jason, he was Mr. Colorado in 2016. He's a bodybuilder. I mean, the dude is shredded huge. But, you know, I went up to him, just, like, said hi to him one day, and he's the nicest guy in the world. You would have no idea that he, you know, like, if you didn't see him, you'd think that he was probably just a normal-looking dude, but just nicest guy in the world, lifts an incredible amount of weight, and is just aesthetically, like, a beast. But if you don't approach someone like that, you'll never know.
Right. And he's the barber. When I was in Denver, right, that was we went to the barber. Was that his girlfriend at the time?
Yeah, yeah. He's a hairstylist, too, which is a different,
yes,
that's right?
Yeah,
is,
yes. Yeah.
And he's, like, he does incredible work. And again, like, you'd never have known if I never, you know, said hi to this guy. And he's an inspiring dude as well, because he has that balance. I remember after his competition, he had one of the local donut shops make a donut of him, like, lifting weights, and that's instantly what he had right after his competition.
That's awesome.
He's an awesome dude. Man. Yeah.
Dang, shout out to both of them. What was your buddy's name? Jason,
yeah.
Mr. Colorado,
yeah.
And Paul Morris. Gotta get both of them on here.
Yeah.
That would be both. Oh, the possibilities are endless here, people. Second to last question. For people who are stuck in a job, because I think, as someone else who's just mindset of someone who is obese, I know, like, that is, being stuck in a job could be very demotivating or depressing, really. And I think a lot of people are stuck in jobs, and I've never, since I've met you, luckily I met you after you lost all the weight, and you've never seemed to be this way. What would you say to these people who are stuck in jobs? What's your advice?
Oh man, I felt that way for sure. I felt stuck in a job or stuck at a level, so that's not uncommon. So one, you're not alone. That, I would say, is a huge proponent of your mindset. But if you're stuck in a job, my advice for you is find a community, find an avenue, even if it's not work-related, because you know, we all have to pay the bills, unfortunately. So whether you like your job or not, if this is the only thing that you can pay your bills with, then do it. But then find something outside of that you can have joy. because I look at it now, you know, 6 months ago I was in a job that I couldn't stand. You know, I was get yelled at all day, have no sense of ownership, and you know, I'd come home every day like, damn, I didn't get anything done. But at the end of the day, you have an obligation. That's, I always think of a job as like a contract. You sign your contract, go put your best foot forward, because at the end of the day, again, you're writing your story. And do you want to leave somewhere? And like you said earlier, like, I've never really left a job with a sour taste in my mouth. My last job, they were surprised that I worked as hard as I did until the last day. They were calling every day like, oh, is he still there? Is he still there? Did he quit? Did he just leave? Did he leave? No, I stayed until that my last day, because that's just the right thing to do. And if you're stuck in a job right now and you want to get out of it, one, I mean, obviously apply to other places. And I've had friends reach out to me, but find something that's going to interest you that still allow you to pay the bills. I've taken a huge pay cut when I was in a job that I didn't like. I took a 40% pay cut to get out of it. But man, I felt better. I felt, and it kind of re-energized me. It got me out of that plateau. It's a difficult question because there's going to be so many intricacies and specifics.
Right.
But if you feel stuck, dude, reach out to someone who's enjoying the job, or go find something that you enjoy to just make your life a little bit better. Whether it's, you know, Tuesday nights, go play basketball at the local, you know, gym or church or whatever. Just find something you enjoy, you know, start a flag football league with a bunch of people who you don't know.
Classic.
Yeah, man. Just do something that makes you happy, because it'll make that 40 or 50 hours or 60 hours of work fly by, because you're just waiting for that fun time.
Yeah. And try everything. Like you said, apply to jobs, but maybe you don't even know what your passion is yet. So, like, try stuff. Even if it's not as a job at first, just try different things or look into different things. I mean, I said I wanted to be a gym teacher. I can't even I want to have kids, but I can't stand other people's kids. So I don't know what I was thinking when I thought of that. And thank God that I switched. But trying different things, and I went from a sports store to GNC, the supplement store, and I realized I can't stand sales. Like, I don't enjoy sales as a person. I don't enjoy having to – I would rather be able to connect on a personal level and be kind of at the same place than be like, the customers are here, I'm here, and I'm trying to sell them all the way up here. So I just don't think people try enough things. I feel like they get their first job and they kind of just go forward and continue to do that one job, or maybe go through the same line of work, and never take that risk to go into something a little bit more risky or a little bit more rewarding and different, and just different than what they're already used to. And taking that leap is, like you said, when you took the pay cut, even if you have to take a pay cut, I would rather work 40 hours somewhere I enjoy working than work 30 hours and get paid more at somewhere I can't stand to be. And that'll affect your other aspects of life as well, outside of your job. Your 40 hours that you spend there don't just affect your job. They affect everything.
Yeah, and quality of life is huge. The only other thing I'd like to add is, if maybe you're not in control, like I said, I'm kind of higher up in the position I'm at with the company I'm with, but if you are line level and you're just getting your toes wet and you don't really enjoy what you're doing, sometimes just telling who's above you or your superior will help you get along the way. So when an employee comes to me and tells me, hey, I'm not performing and I really just don't enjoy what I'm doing here. Well, that's my job. And I take that as a personal commitment. Like, okay, you don't enjoy it, but as long as you put in your best foot forward, I'll get you to where you want to go. Whether it's changing to get away from sales and to get into the back end, if it's, you know, of the business, or going to inventory or product processing or whatever it may be, I'll get you there. If you want to be a security guard or, you know, whatever, and you don't like talking to people, that's fine. But do me a favor, just put in the best effort you can, and I'll make sure I'll do my best to get you out of that spot.
I wish more people were like that. That is a great, and I don't think people, don't be scared to ask, because I mean, if you never ask, you'll never find out. If you're sick of what you're getting paid, like, ask for, I feel like people don't ask for a promotion or a raise often enough, and that might be the reason why you hate your job. Like, hey, I like the place I'm working at, but I'm making garbage money. ask.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason not to. And if you truly believe that you're worth it, like, you should be able to walk in there with confidence that you are worth X amount of dollars more.
Oh, 100%. I've given so many raises to people who have, you know, they've asked for more money, and then I asked them why. And make sure you have a case for it, of course. Like, don't just, well, I'm the hardest working here. Really, because I could show you, if you really were the hardest working, you would know it, because I would be telling you, like, hey, you're doing a phenomenal job. But if you have a boss maybe that isn't that supportive, or you have someone who's not that supportive, find something else. You know, work as hard as you can, even though it hurts you to do a good job for this person. I've had managers where I couldn't stand them, but you know, I made sure I did the hardest working, best job that I could. And in the end, I mean, it's played out for me pretty well.
I would say for sure. The last thing I wanted to touch on that is for personal trainers out there, the way I go about it, if I'm looking for a raise, it's usually to do with either your split, like how much you get, either whether it's 50-50, 60-40, 70-30 on the training that you do. You could talk to them about that, or your floor shifts, getting a raise on your floor shifts, and that would be more of like, hey, you figure out how much revenue you're creating for the gym, and if you notice that you're training more than these other people or more than the other trainers, or if you're just increasing how much revenue you bring in every month and you're on like a upward slope, you should definitely be talking to them earlier rather than later, because once you get to a certain point with all this clientele, they'll kind of feel as if you can't leave. And if you've signed any sort of no competition clause, which you should never do, by the way, you would be stuck there. So definitely make sure you have a at least try early on, and even if it's a no, that's okay. Then you can get a what do you have to do. You can get a plan, you can get a goal on where you have to be before you get a raise or a better percentage on your stuff.
I think that's awesome advice.
And overall, last question, overall, what would you say if somebody wasn't happy with the direction they were in, like with life, with their job, with fitness? What would you say if someone isn't happy? What direction would you send them in?
Send them in the direction of someone who is doing what they want to do. So if you don't like your job, you don't like where you are in health, you don't like, you know, your social gathering and the people who you surround yourself with, social media, man, is a huge platform. There's so many avenues. Reach out to someone, even if you don't know them, even if they're a stranger. What's the worst they say? I'm good, like, I can't help you out. Move on to the next person. So just reach out to someone who's, you know, in the shoes that you would want to trade places with. And if they're not somebody who you'd want to trade places with, then you probably shouldn't be taking advice from them.
And I would take that opportunity to open up my DMs as well. Like, I love answering. Honestly, it makes me feel good to get a DM asking these questions about fitness, about life, whatever it may be. I enjoy helping other people, seeing as my mentor kind of instilled that in me. So please ask all the questions you may need, and I'm sure Jordan will open his as well.
Oh, 100%.
And offer any advice.
Literally, night and day, you send me a message anytime, I'm going to respond.
Yes. All right. So please give them the socials again for you and your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at TheJordanRahman, of course, on Instagram, but Fumbling Around Podcast, just like it's spelled out, Fumbling Around Podcast, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. It's Fumbling Around Podcast. We're the one and only. And you'll hear a lot of fun stories. You'll get to meet my wife. She's way cooler than I am. I know this podcast is going to be fun, but her podcast will probably blow it out of the water. I want to plug my wife, Krista May, there.
Yeah. Is she doing a podcast too? What's she doing?
Well, we're just doing the Fumbling Around, of course. She's got, you know, she does skincare and stuff like that as well. So she's got Instagram at The Face Crusader. So you can see some really good techniques for all the guys and girls out there who want to help their skin and their, you know, face and everything like that. Definitely, she's an expert. She's been doing it for almost 15 years. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm excited for her to get onto your podcast in the future. She'll,
Oh, that's yes. She'll tear it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to start working on those notes rather soon. So, I honestly can't thank you enough. To be able to start where we started and where we met and to be where we're at now is honestly, it's insane. It's really cool to still know you and still being able to have you as a resource, a friend.
Hey, man, I just wanted to edify you for a quick second, dude. I don't think you take enough credit. So, ladies and gentlemen, like, Dalton, as far as what he can do, as far as being a personal trainer or just fitness expert to help you along your way, I could tell you a story. Like, I had a delt injury for 2 years, and I go back to Massachusetts. I work out with this dude one time. He shows me a few exercises, does some work for me, and then tells me how to stretch it properly. And I mean, fixes a nagging injury where I couldn't put more than 30 pounds over my shoulder, and fixes it in a month. And I was able to start shoulder pressing, you know, 135 pounds, and I had no damage, no issues. So I think it's cool what you do, not only in your personal and professional, but like everything you do. This podcast is awesome. Your last episode on mobility was epic. 40 minutes of just gold, and I was taking notes, and Krista was like, hey, did you hear Dalton's podcast? We need to start stretching and doing this and this and this more. So I just want to shout you out, man. I'm grateful to have you as a support system and somebody who I can bounce off of, whether it's just motivation or just learning new techniques.
Thank you very much, man. I'm glad very, very nice words. And to combat that with some comedic relief, I'm glad I can not just be a parasite and I'm able to give back to you both, because I feel like you guys have both given me so much. Obviously, this has been an amazing podcast. I hope everybody listening has gained some awesome knowledge, and seriously, listen to this man's words wisely and take them in as wholly as you can. They are really, it's really what drove me to start almost everything I've done. And yeah, that's all I got, man. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And there you have it, guys. Some awesome stuff from Jordan and myself. And honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better episode. Jordan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This is the next day I'm recording the outro, and I really do appreciate all the value you gave to my viewers and me. Honestly, every time I talk to you, it's just amazing, and I learn more about myself every single time. So thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being so nice of an individual and being a resource for me and all my viewers. And for all you guys, if you guys want to support the podcast, there is a link in the show notes down below for anyone who wishes to support the podcast. Our socials are down there. Jordan's socials are down there. Jordan's podcast is also down there. And yeah, we will see you guys in the next video. If you want to vote to see what the next video will be, I usually hold a poll on my Lifting Standards Training Instagram. So check out the stories over there. And if you guys ever have any questions, you can hit me up on that Instagram as well in the DMs. Until next time, guys, you have a great week. Peace.